Blog.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, and whatever it is tonight that you are telling us, dear Father, we just open our hearts right now, dear Father, because we want to receive all that you have for us, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just don't want it to be another day that we go about saying, what was it that God was trying to tell me? Right now is the time, right now, and we just open up our hearts, and we invite you to come in and make your place just, you're welcome here. Just come and just give us what we need, as much as we can take, as much as we can stand. And each and every day, we invite you to just surround yourself with us in our circumstances, in our families, in our thoughts, in our minds. We ask you to bless this ministry and all the ones that are participating, the ones that are praying for us. Dear Father, and as we return those prayers right back into their lives, on their jobs, and their households, we also come praying for our country, dear Father. We're praying for our leaders, dear Father. We're praying for all of those that are against us. And we pray for all of those that are standing together, united, regardless of what our political parties may be, but united as one country. And, dear Father, because we know that we are our brother's keepers. This is your creation. We pray for every soul out there who does not know you right now. I pray for them right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. Not only are you individually trying to tell each and every one of us that is listening tonight something that would empower us, that would take us closer to you, but you're speaking to our country. You're speaking to all creation. And as we get excited about some things and other things we just let pass by us, I do realize, dear Father, that nothing just happens, and you're speaking to us, and may we open our ears to receive it, whether it feels good to our spirit or to our flesh. It may hurt, but we understand that love is a forgiving thing. It's a spirit, and we invite that spirit of forgiveness to come and just rest, rule, and abide in our lives. And anything that is uneasy, the lies, the demonic spirit, we cancel them right now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And all of those that believe that they had those plans of destruction against our life has been canceled, won't you join with me but right now and say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Did not say that the weapons will not form against us, but we trust in your word because we believe your word from the beginning to the end. And your word said that they shall not prosper. And so we shall be the ones that come out of there with prosperity in peace, prosperity in hope, prosperity in growth, prosperity in joy, prosperity in healing. Hallelujah. And truth will set us free. It delivers us to our prosperity. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God bless this study. God bless this word. Hallelujah. Our scripture tonight is coming from the book of Psalms. We're going to be starting at chapter 63, the book of Psalms 63. I invite you to just get comfortable. Call someone and let them know. Try Anointed Ministry is on the air. And we're going to open up the lines a little later on. We've just opened up the chat room. And we invite you to get your sword, get your pen, and get ready to hear from the Lord. I also invite you to rate the show and keep on doing what you're doing. This is your sister, your minister, your speaker of the hour, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I come from Tri-Anointed Ministries, where we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. We believe that the spirit of love is a forgiving spirit. And I believe that everyone has the desire somewhere to be loved and to love. We just sometimes choose the wrong things and the wrong people that we're requesting the love from or that we choose to love. Psalm 63 is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It says, O Lord, you are my God, and early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and to see your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reader, the hearer, and all of those that will choose to do the word of God. Amen. I love that verse so much because in life, again, this was a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. But do you agree with me that we're in a wilderness right now? Someone's wilderness is even thicker than others, but we're all in some type of wilderness in our lives right now, as we speak, as we breathe, as we listen. In your wilderness, the question is, who are you crying out to? Who are you crying out to? Are you crying, oh God, you are my God? Or are you turning to someone? But we all are built to cry out. It's a void inside of us that we're trying to fill by crying out to someone. It's so many different areas we can cry out to. Did you know you can even cry out in education? You can just go and just throw yourself in your books and just do more and more and get more degrees, and you never, ever, ever fill your void. But you got to cry out, oh God, you are my God. That's a personal thing. You are my God. How do you know? That means you have had to try him. You got to know and recognize that what he's done for you. When you can get to the point to say, you are my God. And then it says, early will I seek you. I will seek you early. I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to tithe the first, when you wake me up the first of my day, I want it to be with you. I want you to be the first person that I think of, that I speak to. I want to make sure that I am seeking you early. Not when I'm 50 and 60 and 70 years old. If you find him at that age, God bless you and thank you. I praise the Lord that you were able to find him. But what about when you're a child? Look in the Bible of all the kids. I'm talking about under 10 years of age that God used. We had many kings that was not even teenagers. God wants to use you. Will you seek him early? Parents, why don't you introduce your child to God and let them learn now to seek him? Let them watch you seeking him. I promise you they'll seek him also. It says, my soul thirsts for you. It thirsts because you have continually, if you seek after him, it'll just become a habit that you want to be in his presence. You don't feel right when you're not in prayer. You don't feel right if you go too long without reading the word, without worshiping with someone. You can't stay out of church too long without being in fellowship because your soul begins to thirst for the Lord. Even your flesh will long for him. Hallelujah. We understand that when we seek him, we find his power. When we seek him, we find his glory. And his loving kindness is better than life. So my lips shall forever praise you. Because if I don't, I will find myself that out of my heart, deceit will set up. And then out of my heart, the abundance of my heart, deceit will come out of off of my lips. So I have to make sure that I keep praise in my heart. That praise will bring the truth off of my lips instead of a lie. That praise will bring joy out of my mouth instead of hatred. I have to make sure that I keep joy in my heart if I'm going to speak joy out of my lips. Psalm 63:1-3. That is just our scripture for tonight. Hallelujah. I just encourage you to take it with you. Pick it up and move it around in your life. Do something real with it. The word will work if you work it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to start by just reminding you, don't allow anyone to speak lies into your life and tell you that you do not have to forgive your sister or your brother. You must forgive others as God forgives you. Bearing a grudge may be the heaviest of all the burdens, to carry, which are known to mankind. We're going to look at a little bit of that. We're going to study it. I want you to feel it in your heart. I want you to watch how God will make a difference in your life once you learn how to forgive. You may say, Minister, I just don't know how to forgive. You say, Minister, I feel stupid when I try to forgive someone. I went to them and they didn't even acknowledge me. They never acknowledged that they did anything wrong. They haven't asked me to forgive them. How do you get past that and go on through your life? That's where we're going to go. And we've asked God to just show up, so he's getting ready to show out in your life. Turn some things around that you've been holding on to. Heal your body, because that unforgiveness is just like poisoning to your spirit, to every cell in your body. You're voluntarily shooting poison into your cells. But love, God's love, is a love that forgives. God's love is a love that forgives. Have you ever made a statement similar to this one where you may say, okay, you know what? I will forgive you. I will forgive you. But then you find yourself, your mind is wandering back, reliving everything that the person has said or that they have did that really hurt your heart. And so you find yourself when they say, well, you said that you had forgave me. Why are you bringing this back to my face? And you say, you know, I can forgive you, but I find in life that I can't forget about it. Is that true forgiveness? We are now engaged in this study in one of the most exciting aspects of love. And again, that is forgiveness. To forgive or not to forgive, that truly is the question. First, let's just start with a little story. And it is a true story that I actually read somewhere. And it's a similar story that I'm sure that you've heard or may even know someone in your life that's in the same situation themselves. On a cold wintry evening, a man suffered a heart attack, and after being admitted to the emergency room in the hospital, asked the nurse to call his daughter. He explained to the nurse, he said, you see, I live alone and she is the only family I have. The nurse went to the phone to call the daughter. The daughter was quite upset, and she shouted over the phone, you must not let my father die. She said, you see, me and my dad had a terrible argument about a year ago, and I haven't seen him since. And all these months, I've wanted to go to him and ask for forgiveness, but I just didn't feel right. So the last thing I said to him was that I hate you. The daughter cried out, I'm coming. I should be there in about 30 minutes. The patient went into cardiac arrest and code blue was sounded. The nurse prayed, oh God, his daughter is coming. Don't let it end this way. The efforts of the medical team to revive the patient was fruitless. The nurse observed one of the doctors talking to the daughter outside the room. She could see the pathetic hurt on the daughter's face. The nurse took the daughter aside and said, I'm sorry. The daughter responded, I never hated him. You know, I loved him, and now I want to go see him. The nurse thought to herself, why put yourself through more pain? But she took her to the room where her father lay. The daughter went to the bed and buried her face in the sheets as she said goodbye to her deceased father. The nurse, as she tried not to look at this sad goodbye, she noticed a scrap of paper on the bedside table. She picked it up and read, My dearest Janie, I forgive you. I pray you will also forgive me. I know that you love me, and I love you too. Love, Daddy. You see, the moral of that story is, you don't know when the last words are going to be spoken. So many times we just, I've rant because we have deceit in our heart, or we allowed anger to come over us so high. We say things that make us look worse than what we really want, what we really mean. We say things out of the heat of the moment, thinking that we're going to have an opportunity to take it back. Oh, I will apologize later. When is your later? The question is, when is your later? Will you get that opportunity? When we're reading this story and you get to the point where you hear that the father actually passes away, it's easily to let your minds wander and think, oh, they did not get a chance to set things right. But that father had already spoke his words by writing them down, that they will be found right there for her to see. She had the same thing in her heart. Unfortunately, they couldn't see and look at each other eye to eye. But they both had the opportunity in some way to share. I forgive you. I love you. How much more better would it have been face to face? Eye to eye. The hurts that have arisen out of holding on to wrongs, they're incurable. They just mess you up on the inside. You're carrying something that you're not built to carry. You're holding on to something when your body was made to just let go, release. So you're working against your own body. I repeat, bearing a grudge may be one of the heaviest of all the burdens to carry which are known to mankind. So you've really been wronged. You've really been hurt. And you may have made the choice to keep your hurt and just create a plan of revenge. You said, I'm not going to forget about what they did to me. I'm not going to release this pain. I'm not going to release this hurt. And I'm not going to let anybody else forget about what happened to me either. And I'm going to despise everybody else who looks with a smile to the ones that have hurt me. And I'm deeply looking for revenge. See, that kind of life action will only prolong and increase your pain. Now, I'm not talking about the one that did you wrong, but your pain. So how does a person deal with such things? Where do we go for the ultimate answers? Once more, back to the word of Jesus Christ. As we go through and read Matthew 18:21, let's do Matthew 18:21 through 35. very quickly, Matthew, New Testament, first book. All right. Matthew 21, and we will do, I'm sorry, Matthew 18, and let's just do 21 through 35. All right, and this is how just the words, God's words, just expressing to us, showing us the answers that we're asking for. How do I get through that? How do I start? How do I begin to forgive? How do I know that God wants me to forgive? And we're looking at the unforgiven servant. It's a parable that Jesus told about an unforgiving servant. So Peter goes to Jesus and he says, in verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Let me just put something in. Let me just explain something real quickly. When he's telling up to seven times, he's just like, I can't believe that, but how often? How many times should I forgive him? A theological place in there is the interchange which takes place in those verses is likely had the reference of the Jewish law. See, if the Jewish law was, if a man sins once, twice, or three times, they forgave him. But if he sins a fourth time, they do not forgive him. So see, Peter would have been raised with this as it was taught in his days. So that's why he says, you know, again, if a man sinned four times, then by their law, you did not have to forgive them any longer. So when Peter says, then, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said up to seven times? And he's just knowing Jesus is going to say, of course not. The rule he lived by was four. Well, Jesus said to him, he said, I do not say to you up to seven times. And I can just see Peter in my eyes saying, of course, God, I knew you would not. But then I can see my father, Jesus, saying, but wait for it, wait. I did not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. What, 70 times seven? Can you see the look on Peter's face? He's been brought up that if you sin four times against him, that he was not to forgive you. But 70 times 7, we're talking about 490 times. Wow. 23. This is where we're going to get into the parable. I love the way Jesus always broke things down to us. Hallelujah. 23. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. We've spoke about talents and just how significant that those there were. He owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you. So it's good to owe no man. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him. He forgave him his debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarius, a pence, same thing. And he laid hands on him, and it says that he took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe. Let's just recap. He owed the king 10,000 talents. and was forgiven of those sins, of that debt. Now he has his hands around the throat of one of his fellow servants that only owes him 100 denarii, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, just as he has the king before him, fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. So then that master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Somebody needs to hear this tonight. And then verse 34 says, And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. 35 again says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's take another look at that. Let's look as far as a reference verse for us. Let's look at Luke 17 and 4. And let's just hear how the physician puts it for us. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 17 and 4 says, and if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, then it says, you shall forgive him. You shall forgive him. Hallelujah. We're living by the word of God. We're living by the word of God. We are living by the word of God. Now, have you ever been deeply hurt and allowed unforgiveness to remain in your spirit? What happens to your inner spirit every time you start to think back on the hurt? You don't find any happiness out of it. You are the one who's depressed. You are the one in the pity party. You are the one saying, I can't go and be around these people. I can't go to this event. I can't because of what has happened. See, in this parable, who do you think Peter was so concerned about? How many times forgiveness was to be offered? Who is it in your life that you are just wondering how many times? Now, if you keep allowing yourself to go back into situations that you know are detrimental to you, and you are allowing yourself to go back, that's a totally different situation. Hallelujah. Do you think Christ really meant that we should offer forgiveness up to 490 times? Do you really think that? Do you think that's impossible? Are you thinking maybe that was just for then, but not for now? Minister, it cannot be for now. Yes, it's for now. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if we could understand that, at least we can face the facts. I'm not going to say that we all may change, but at least we can face the facts and be for real with ourselves. Because we hide behind that facade for so many reasons that it's just not for today's time. God would understand. The things, the choices that I make now, this is a new age. We need to understand that God is the creator of all days. I don't care what day it is, all days, all time. He doesn't need time. It's for our benefit. And his word does not change. Why do you think that it was so hard for the man who had been forgiven such a large debt to be forgiving to his fellow man? Why is it so hard for us to forgive when we have been forgiven for so many things? Why is it so hard for us to keep somebody else's personal life silent when we tried to hide under the rug all the big things that was going on in our families? You didn't run and tell that. That was at the utmost secret. But however, when somebody else's child is in trouble, when somebody else's marriage is in trouble, you're blowing up everybody's phone, trying to make sure that everyone hears about it. Did you read it in the paper? Did you pull it on the internet? Why do you think it was so hard for that man who had been forgiven such a large debt to be forgiving to his fellow man? We need to think about the principles of forgiveness in this parable. Put ourselves in that shoe. How costly is it to be unforgiving? How costly? Think of some of the things that it has cost you in your life by just holding on to that unforgiveness. Now you had to quit your job because you don't want to be around the person. Now you can't associate with people that you want to associate because they're still associating with that group of people. You're the one that's feeling being ostracized, and you're mad at everybody else because they won't come and join your pity party. And there is no time limit. Once you have chose in your heart that you're not going to forgive, there is no time limit for destruction. It begins to destroy your mind, your body, your spirit, and your soul the moment that it happens, and it will continue and be in the grave with you. There is no time limit. It will eat you up from the inside out. Just take a look at yourself. How much pain are you really in? This is not just physical pain. This is not just mental pain. Your spirit is in pain. Your mind is in pain. I don't care where you go. You're blowing through jobs. You're blowing through relationships. You're blowing through friendships. Because you're in pain. And the person who harmed you, the group of people who harmed you, the employer who harmed you, they can't relieve your pain. If they even came to you and asked for forgiveness right now, it would still be up to you to release it. Only you can release that pain. Only you can release that pain. Why were the other servants so greatly distressed by the actions that was taken? Could it be the same reason that the people around you are so greatly distressed to see you continue to go through holding on, harboring up, storing up hatred? You're distressing those around you. because they see the hurt. They see how you're just taking another nail, that you now are abusing yourself. Yeah, the job abused you and did you wrong. They lied on you and did this and did that, but now you are the one who is killing you. You're abusing yourself worse than anything that ever happened in that situation. And all those around you are distressed. They're trying to speak word into you. They don't try to sing word into you. They don't try to show the word into you. They don't try to press the word into you. But you are in control of you. We're going to end tonight right there. You are in control of you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me, that you shed your blood for me, that I may have a right to the tree of life. I am a sinner, God, and I invite you to come and just wipe my slate clean. Forgive me of my sin. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you are the only true way back to my Father. And in your name I pray. In your name, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your just loving me enough that you would die for me. And I just invite you to reach out and tell someone of your decision to follow Christ, of your decision to follow Christ. Again, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is Minister Von Dumas, San Antonio, Texas. Before I sign out, I just wanted to pray for all of the people that are on my team at work, each and every one of you. I pray for you. I pray for your strength. I pray for your families. So know that Ms. Von loves you and continue to just be there and be willing to grow, and God will use you. Until the next time, I get so excited about this spirit of forgiveness. Get excited. Carry it with you. God is trying to tell you something. Good night.